Israelis returned to the polls today for the second time in less than 6 months after Benjamin Netanyahu's failed to form a coalition government in April. Netanyahu is fighting for political survival against his main rival, former military chief Benny Gantz. He's promising to annex large parts of the occupied West Bank if he wins a fifth term. Gerald Steinberg is professor of politics at Bar Ilan University in Tel Aviv. He joins me now. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
Do you think it's likely Benjamin Netanyahu will win a fifth term as prime minister?
I'd give him slightly better than 50-50 odds, but not much better. As you pointed out, he was unable to form a government. He did not have a majority of seats in the Knesset in order to form a government in the previous round back in April. He won the previous election narrowly 4.5 years ago. A lot of this election turns on the question of have we had enough of Netanyahu? He's facing corruption allegations and a trial, all sorts of other factors. He's been in office for more than 10 years, longest serving prime minister of Israel since 1948, since the country was recreated or reborn. So there is a lot of anti-Netanyahu sentiment, and this election is really about, do you want another 3 or 4 years in Netanyahu, or do you want to try another change? I think you're familiar with that in Australia and other countries as well. We'll have to wait and see.
So this election is effectively a rerun. What could change in terms of the numbers that would enable Netanyahu to get there in cobbling together a coalition?
Because we're talking about a very narrow gap, 1 or 2%, small changes can make a big difference. It could be that the Likud party will do a little bit better than it did last time. Netanyahu has certainly tried to rally the troops, tried all sorts of different things. You mentioned his annexation promises. We're not really talking about a large part of the West Bank, but any part of the West Bank being annexed would change the situation. And he's appealing to the right wing. He's trying to get people to come out to vote. It's hard if you've done it in April. You want to come back out in September, do it again. He's trying to get an extra few percentage points there, perhaps for some coalition partners. That's going to make a difference. Perhaps some of the people who are on the other side will stay home or the other way around. So these small changes are what really drove us to another election, the hope for small changes. Netanyahu wouldn't have done this if he hadn't thought he would be able to do it. And the opposition is also quite confident that that will not happen. And we'll have to, I think the tension will be not so much in the returns, what happens overnight in the next 24 hours, but rather how the very specific negotiations take place over 1 or 2 seats so that Netanyahu can then go to the president or not and say, I've got the support of 61, the majority. It's 120 members of the Knesset, of the parliament. So if Netanyahu can say, I've got 61, he will then become prime minister again. On the other hand, if he fails, if Benny Gantz, the leader of the opposition, is able to do that, perhaps because of the one defector from the coalition, a gentleman whose name was Mr. Lieberman, Avigdor Lieberman, who was the defense minister under Netanyahu. They were once very close allies. He refused to be part of the coalition in the last round. If he now joins up Benny Gantz with the opposition, then Netanyahu will not be prime minister. And we'll have to wait to see how those seats turn out, how the different returns look at in 24 hours.
So Benny Gantz, as you mentioned, he's the main opposition leader, former military chief. Tell us about him.
As you said, he's a former military chief. His entire career was in the military. But for Israel, that's not unusual that a career military officer, a much decorated chief of staff, ran a couple of very difficult wars. And you have to remember, on policy, there's not a lot of difference between Netanyahu and Gantz. Gantz is newer. He doesn't have all the political baggage, nor does he have the experience. But as I said, for Israelis, someone who's run the army, who's defended Israel against attacks, whether it's from Gaza, from Hamas, from terrorist groups, from Iran, other countries, that person is considered to have the experience to guide the country, which is why Gantz so quickly went from a former military officer to head of the opposition. It's the path that the late Yitzhak Rabin took back in the 1970s. It's Ariel Sharon took the same path in the early 90s. So Israeli military heroes often become political leaders, particularly because there doesn't seem to be anybody else out there able to challenge Netanyahu.
And so in terms of this declaration by Netanyahu that he wants to annex large parts of the occupied West Bank, is that a manoeuvre designed to win over voters, or a manoeuvre designed to win over potential coalition partners, or simply to sort of outflex Benny Gantz on the security question?
I'd say it's all the above. It's also to get newspaper or rather media headlines, not so much newspapers, but social media. Netanyahu has run a campaign that has dominated the media. He's really good at that, making headlines for the purpose of making headlines. What he does afterward is always open for question. He also promised to annex sections back in the elections just in April, just before, a few days before. He was less explicit about what he might annex. But the fact that he made those statements shows that in some ways, his critics said it was a mark of desperation. He wants to get to 1 or 2 extra percent. If he's right, that will get him the right-wing voters to come out that otherwise might not have come out. Whether he actually is interested or capable of implementing those policies after he gets election, after he forms a coalition, if we get to that stage, I would say it doesn't seem very likely. Some of that depends on the great American peace plan that Trump is promising. But I would definitely distinguish, as I think we always have to do with politicians, between election promises and actual policies that are made afterwards. So I'm going to wait, withhold judgment until after we see what kind of government is formed.
It's still, though, I suppose, worth for us understanding what the implications of such a policy would be. There's something like 65,000 Palestinians and 11,000 Israelis living in the Israelis, obviously, in illegal settlements in that area. What would be the implications of doing this?
Israelis, to the majority, and those are the people who vote for Netanyahu's, in this case, probably 60%, because it's not just Netanyahu voters or right-wing voters, do not consider, particularly the area of the Jordan Valley, to be illegally occupied. Rather, it's disputed territory. The history is very complicated. There was never a Palestinian state. I won't get into the whole history. That's why we're all spending years of our lives, that's my entire career, is getting to the complexities of the history. The fact is that that is very vital security area. Israel's a very tiny country. I make that point when I speak to Australians, to Americans, to Canadians, anybody who lives in a country that's bigger than a postage stamp. And Israel's very vulnerable. That strip that Netanyahu's talking about separates Israel not only from Jordan, but from Iraq and Iran and every country to the east. And it's inconceivable to the majority of Israelis that Israel will not control at least security aspects of that strip of land. It would make Israel extremely vulnerable. So Netanyahu was not really enunciating a new set of policies. What he was saying was that if there's going to be a peace process, then it's going to be that Israel will take some territory that will become part of Israel proper, no longer occupied or disputed. He did not say what other people have said, and that is in return, Israel will give up some territory that will be important for a Palestinian state. That's all. Those are the little details, or the major details, it would have to be discussed if and when we get to that stage. So Netanyahu was not really laying out a policy as much as he was setting markers down for what he would like to see happening. A lot will depend on what Trump and his long-announced but slowly moving peace plan will look like. It will depend on how Arab countries and Palestinians respond to that. We have a lot of uncertainty ahead of us on this issue. I would also say that given the headlines of the last few days, Iran is a much more important issue.
Gerald Steinberg.
The question of what's going to happen.
Gerald Steinberg, critical. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Gerald Steinberg is Professor of Politics at Bar-Ilan University in Tel Aviv.